I don't know about you, after that, I'm feeling kind of fine. I hope you are feeling fine today. Well, our church today, it's a special day in life for church. We're going to ordain Brother Jake Turner to the ministry. It's a special day in the life of our church, and we've been looking forward to this day for some time. But for us to proceed forward, our ordination council met on Wednesday night. Our deacons and those ordained were invited to come, and we had questions that we asked Brother Jake, asked him several questions about, he shared his salvation, he shared about his call to ministry, we talked about what he thought about the Word of God, what he thought about stewardship, what he thought about serving or counseling and different things. There were a lot of different questions asked, and we believe with all of our heart that Brother Jake is ready to be set apart. So at this time, we're going to enter into business meeting. Brother John, you come on up here. Our chairman of deacons is going to bring the recommendation. Could we have a motion to enter that business meeting today? Motion by Delis Dunlap. Is there a second? Second by Cody Rhodes. If you're in favor of entering into the business meeting, let them know by saying aye.
Aye.
If you oppose by no, it so carries. Our recommendation from our deacon body.
The ordination council met with Brother Jake this past Wednesday night, and we were extremely pleased with the answer he gave to our questions. And the council would like to make a recommendation at this time that we proceed with Brother Jake's ordination.
Okay, we have this recommendation from our deacon body. Is there a second to that? Second by several. Laura, right there. Second by Laura. I'm having trouble remembering your last name, Laura. Pillow. I don't remember that. I married that young couple. I ought to remember their last name. When you get a little older, sometimes things don't, they're filed, but you can't find them in the file. So in this motion and second, if you're in favor of this church that we proceed with the ordination today, would you let it know by saying aye?
Aye.
If you're opposed by no, and it so carries, could we have a motion to adjourn? This will probably be the shortest business meeting that you've ever been to. Brother Joe Steadman makes that motion, and I saw Leslie Singletary. I've said her name two times wrong, and now I say it wrong on purpose so I can just get her. But anyway, Singleton, it makes that second. If you're in favor of that, let it know by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by no. That's probably been the shortest Baptist business meeting you've ever been to. Amen? Of course, a lot of ours are short because we bring everything to the church. Our church votes on it, and that's how we operate. But this is a special day in the life of our church. Lane Prairie Baptist, we've gathered together today on this special day for Jake and Julie Turner to set him apart for the ministry that God has called him to. God is so good to us. He has blessed us with three young men that serve in our church beside myself. All of them are in their 30s, and I'm in my 60-something, you know. But I have the wonderful opportunity to minister alongside these young guys, and they've been a blessing in my life. To see them grow in the Lord and see how God's used them is such a wonderful blessing. And today, we're setting apart after he's been with us now for 4.5 years, Brother Jake has. And he'll be here 5 years in December. And so we're going to be ordaining him. The church, we find this to be a principle of the church. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the church at Antioch, they gathered together and the Lord impressed them through the Holy Spirit that they were to set some men apart to go forth, okay? And in fact, the scripture makes it very clear and plain there. I just want to read that to us. We're not going to be there. But I want to read these verses that you would understand that what God's called the church to do. He says, as they ministered, verse 2, to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Remember, he's going to have a name change to Paul. For the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. We come today to set apart Brother Jake in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church there fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them, and God showed them. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is the one who calls us into ministry, Brother Jake. And we need to understand that. We're set apart for God, for His purposes, for His plan. He sets us apart for salvation, by the way, church. But let me tell you what, He also sets us apart for ministry. Every one of us in this church are to be ministers. We're to be servants. That word servant is the word diakonos. In the Greek language, it means to be a bond slave. Paul many times identified himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here, the church received them and they let them go and they released them. It's interesting that that sent means to go forth. The idea is to let go. In other words, we the church are letting Brother Jake go today to be a minister of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, and to be a servant of the Most High. You are set apart today, Brother Jake, by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you're called of Him. You're not called by a board or a denomination or a local church, but by God. And we must understand that, church. Now, does that mean that we're not accountable? Absolutely not. We are accountable. We're accountable to our flock. But God has called and set us apart to do this mighty work of God. The idea is to release them. Don't hinder them. In Ephesians chapter 4, it said God had gifted people for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's what we who serve here with you, church, that's what we're to be about. We're to be ministering to the flock, or to edify the body of Christ, that the work of God might be continuing here at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. If you have a copy of Scripture this morning, I ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. What a joy it is in serving the Lord. May I just say from a personal note today, the joys outweigh the trials and tribulations. There's a joy in seeing people saved. By the way, you know what? Besides my salvation, the greatest joy I have is seeing other people saved. Praise God for that. Seeing couples renewed, seeing babies born, seeing them dedicated to the Lord, and them renewing their marriages. This September, God's allowed me to be in the ministry for 48 years. I started when I was 19 years old, and along the way, there's been a lot of victories. I've been blessed to be in some great churches that encourage me. In fact, some people that are here today used to be at First Baptist Church Joshua, and that was my first pastor when I was 26 years old. And God allowed me to pastor that church, glory to God. But these are the people I've known for 44 years, folks. And these are the people who stood by me as a young pastor, and I made a lot of mistakes. We all do. But I'm going to tell you what, they didn't give up on me. They kept encouraging me, kept helping me in the work of God. And some of those are here today, by the way. And some of them, I was ordained to the ministry in 1975, and some of them have signed my ordination paper that's back in my office, and I treasure that. But as a pastor, we have many responsibilities as a minister of the gospel. To stand over a small casket of a child is not very easy. To see a wayward young person destroy their life by drugs is not easy. To see couples that are struggling in their marriage, and usually when they come to my office, it's usually so far gone, only by the grace of God can it be restored. To see someone who's at the point of suicide and to rush up and to minister to them and to help them find out that's not God's plan for their life. And to see later on they get married and God blesses them with children. You know what? I've had all these. I can't use names. I've been in a lot of different churches. I'm not going to use names today. But many in the church have no idea what a minister of the gospel does on a weekly basis. the trials and tribulations, the calls. I don't know how many times over the 48 years we've been sitting down for dinner and I get a call saying someone's about to pass away, and of course we run to be with them. I don't know how many times I have, at this church, have stood by the side of a hospital bed or a hospice bed and seen our members take their last breath. That's very difficult. But then there's the joys to see people come to Christ. I remember when I was pastoring in Waco, we had a young boy accept Christ, and he was coming down the steps of the baptistry, and he missed the first step. And he just went head first, went flop. And the, this is funny, by the way. You're not getting it. The water came over the glass onto the choir. This was a choir that was wearing, you know, those choir robes. And they went. And then I had to baptize the boy with a straight face. I wanted to say, "You're done. See you later." But I didn't do that. I could write a book about baptisms. I've been where the heater of the baptistry didn't work in the dead of the winter. And these kids say, "I'm getting baptized. My family's here today. I want to do it." I say, "Hey, it's going to be cold in there. I'm going to tell you right now, it's cold." And I went down there with waders on, and I was doing like this with waders on. And those kids came down there. I didn't do my normal thing I do, talk about baptism. I said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Dunked them underneath there. They lost their breath coming up. Because it was cold, folks. I thought we might lose one of them. But then there's been those times of great, great joy of seeing, you know, when you're at a church for 20 years, like the Lord's allowed me to be here at Lane Prairie, I've seen little babies grow up to be young people. And I've seen our young people get married and they have families. By the way, it'll age you a little bit, but God is good. To know that young people, I used to be a youth pastor, some of my youth that was in my youth group, they now have grandchildren. Now, that'll do something for you. But God is good. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, 30 years younger than him, and he's trying to encourage him. Timothy, as you know, was a pastor at Ephesus, and he's facing turmoil from within and without the church. And in 2 Timothy, there are no less than 25 imperatives that are given. These imperatives in the Greek language, they're not suggestions, they're commands. And Brother Jake, in this passage we're going to look at today, we find nine different imperatives. Nine out of the 25 are found in the first verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at that together. I'm going to read our text and we'll take it apart. Verse 1, "I charge or commission thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For there will be a time that will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So in these verses, we see these nine imperatives, Brother Jake. And the first imperative that we find here, or the first idea that he's given us, it's not the first imperative. He says, "I charge thee before God." Now, I want you to see here, he says, God is the one that calls you. "I charge thee before God," because that, give me what? "And the Lord Jesus Christ." Because one day, we who are called to ministry, and by the way, every believer here will one day stand before the Bema seat, before the judgment seat of Christ. and we'll give an account for what we have done with that which God has given us. And I believe teachers, according to James, they have a higher responsibility. There'll be a higher judgment. And I think pastors and ministers of the gospel, there'll even be a higher judgment. We are responsible for those we minister to. We're to watch after the flock. We're to help people in their time of need. We're not to judge people. We're not to judge them on their appearance. We know that James talks about that in James chapter 2. And when we had the nearsighted usher there who took the person with nice apparel and gave them a wonderful seat, but someone who wasn't dressed as nicely, they put him in one of the back seats. I want you to know today, folks, that God has called us. He solemnly charged us. The idea of this is a forceful order or directive. We are called of God. It is a serious calling. We're to minister under his divine authority and obligation, because he's going to be the one who will judge, not someone else. The Lord Jesus will judge us at his appearing in his kingdom. And he says the first imperative, preach the word. A faithful minister is called to preach the word of God. We have a Bible right here that Brother Jake, what do we usually do at the ordination? We present a gift to the one who's being ordained. And the gift that we give them most of the time, unless they already have a Bible that's there that they've enjoyed, he said, hey, I've been looking at a Bible I wanted to get. And we took care of that this week as a church. And we're giving this gift to Brother Jake, because I want you to know, Brother Jake, you got to stand on this word. You got to stand on it even when it's not popular. You got to preach the truth of the word of God. Because you know in our text there, it says there's going to be a day coming when people were not going to receive the truth of the word. They're going to want to be like, you know, it says they're having itching ears. In other words, you know what happens when an old dog, what does he do? He comes up there, and as long as you touch their ears, and they'll stay there for hours, won't they? But I'm going to tell you what, when you preach the truth, people get a little squirmy. In fact, they get a little quiet when you preach the word. Because when the truth comes forth, by the way, the Bible is called a hammer. You realize that? It's a hammer. It's a scalpel. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that we are to preach that word. We're to deliver the word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit and the marrow and the joints and the intents of the heart. And Brother Jake, we give you this Bible today because I'm going to tell you in the coming days, you're going to need to stand on this word. In the dark days of ministry, stand on the word. In the joyous days of the ministry, stand on the word of God. And God will not bless you just temporarily. He'll bless you eternally as you stand on that word. So we present that to you today, Brother Jake, knowing that the first imperative that's mentioned here is we're to preach the word. Now, the idea of this word preach, it talks about a herald. It's someone who is proclaiming publicly that which they've been called to do. By the way, earlier we find in chapter 1 that he says, listen, verse 11, if you want to go there, 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. And you know, the word preacher there means a herald, someone who is acting as a messenger for someone who is greater than them. I want to tell you, Brother Jake, we're representing someone who's greater than us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't bring our message, we bring his message. The word of God is not to be preached out of a dictionary or by the Newsweek or by CNN or Fox News or anything else. You're to preach the word of God without apology. And when you preach the word of God without apology, I want you to know not everyone will be happy with you. I've had times when I preach the word without apology. I preach the word concerning homosexuality. And by the way, the Bible has something to say about that. Same-sex marriage, the Bible has something to say about that. And literally, I had people that would get up and walk out in that message. Because see, The world has a view, and our politicians have a view that's not lined up with this word right here. And by the way, we got to choose the word over any politician. You know when a politician isn't telling you the truth is when they're moving their mouth. Because they're trying to please people. Brother Jake, you haven't been called to please people. You've been called to preach the word, to preach it. In fact, we find in 2 Timothy here that Paul deals a lot with this. He told him that you're to study yourself. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Literally what it says there, you're to be diligent. You're to study. You're to be zealous to accomplish, to please the Lord, not yourself, and to be approved of who? Of God. We're not here to please men. We're here to please God, folks. And when you please God, God will honor you above measure. It will honor you above measure. And then another place it says, catch this, it says all scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. You hear that? He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You got to preach the word. This word we have, and Brother Jake believes this with all his heart, he told us the other night, it is the inspired, infallible word of God. Now, by the way, there's people today that want to water it down. There's people today that want to make it palatable. I want you to know, it isn't. Sometimes it's hard to swallow, amen? I don't know about you, when I'm studying the word, conviction comes. And it isn't conviction, by the way, it's conviction of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that teaches us the Logos, the Word, or the Rhema, Word of God, another word that's used. And you and I must understand that we have that responsibility. Now, I tell you something today, Brother Jake. Preaching the Word brings the preacher in direct contact with the mind of the Holy Spirit, who is the author of this Word. In other words, when you're preaching the Word, you need to hear a word from the Holy Spirit. Will he teach you from other people? Absolutely. You can use helps, commentaries. You can use different things that will help you in preaching. But I want you to know the author of this word is the Holy Spirit. It is God-breathed, Holy Spirit-empowered. And when we come in contact with him, we'll stand in the pulpit and we'll have a word from God, not us. Secondly, preaching the word, the preacher will proclaim all of God's revelation, including truth that many believers find hard to learn or to accept. So how do you know that, Brother Jerry? Well, in our text here, go back to verse 3, look at it. For there will be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to be a time, and by the way, that time's now, in case you didn't know. There's not everybody, you know, we have people that are preaching the Word of God, and they're more concerned about selling books than they are preaching the Word of God. You need to stay away from people like that. They're more concerned about you giving so they might jet away in their jets. Sorry, folks, I don't have a jet. I don't even have a helicopter. In fact, as you've looked at our church sign, my name isn't on the church sign, and I told the church I didn't want my name on the sign. Why? Because it isn't about me, it's about him, folks. That's what it's about. It's about preaching him. And we must be willing to do that. Because it says there'll be a day coming, they'll turn their ears from the truth. And Brother Jake, that's when you got to keep declaring the word of God. We are declaring God's own word, not our word. And we must always remember that as we ask God to direct us. So you got to preach the word. To preach anything less than the truth of God's word As Warren Wisby said, it is to practice malpractice, is to have malpractice in the ministry. In other words, if you deter from this word, and by the way, when I stand up to preach, folks, I'm not standing up saying, well, I better not say that because I know this person's sitting over here. I better not say that because this person's sitting over here. I better not say that because this person's sitting over here. That isn't my responsibility. My responsibility is to preach this word without compromise. And I have, with all my heart, these last 20 years done that. The best of my ability. God's been good to us. Because when you preach the word, He is the one that will add to the church. Not everyone wants to hear the truth, but we got to preach the word, Brother Jake. Secondly, notice what he says here. You got to be instant, in season, and out of season. In other words, you got to be ready, is the idea there. You got to be ready. In fact, that word used there is the word that's used of a soldier who is ready for battle at a moment's notice. It's the aorist active imperative. In the Greek, it means it calls for an urgency, a preparedness, of a readiness. Not when it's favorable for us. Let me tell you what, a lot of times the ministry is not favorable. Sometimes it comes in contact with our schedules. I've had to move my vacation back a couple of days so I could stay here and do a funeral, which is my responsibility as a pastor to stand and preach the word in a funeral to encourage and comfort a family. In season, out season, early or late, whether it be the time is favorable or not, whether it be 400 people or 100 people or 4 people or just one person, we're to preach the word. We're to be ready always to preach the word. And by the way, how does that come about? It comes about by continuing studying the word of God. It comes about by being in your prayer closet. It comes about by you being submissive to the Holy Spirit. You're to be ready in season and out of season. You need that. There's an urgency to that God has called us. And I believe right now, in this day we're living in, it's more urgent than ever before, Brother Jake. We got to be ready. Thirdly, and by the way, when we come to these next three imperatives, two are going to be negative, one is going to be positive, okay? The third imperative is the word reprove. You see it there? The word reprove. It means to convict, to bring to light, to expose. The word of God, when it's preached verse by verse, as we're doing this morning, as we do most Sunday mornings, sometimes I'll preach a topical message at Thanksgiving, times like that. But as we preach it word by word, it's going to reprove. It's going to bring to light. It's going to expose that which is wrong in our lives. And by the way, you know what? If we're preaching it, if we're doing that, Brother Jake, it's already reproved us in our private time with Him. Because we got to put our life on the plumb line of the Word of God. We got to follow that. Remember, when you preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's conviction that takes place, and God will do that. By the way, this Greek word, it's interesting. This is the same Greek word, Brother Jake, that's used in John 16:8, where it says the Holy Spirit will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The same Greek word. That Greek word is used. It's the same Greek word that's used to the church at Laodicea, the church that was lukewarm. They weren't hot, they weren't cold, they were lukewarm, they were apathetic. And the deacons asked Brother Jake the other night, what do you think is the biggest struggle in the church today? And Brother Jake answered, apathy. People are apathetic. They're plain lazy when it comes to reading the Word of God, to studying it, to know what our doctrine is, to know where we stand in sharing the gospel with other people and doing the work of the ministry that God's called us to do. And he told the church at Laodicea, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. Same Greek word there, reprove. By the way, sometimes we got to reprove. Sometimes we got to stand up, and there might be something that's happening in our world that we got to stand up and we as pastors got to preach the word concerning that. You can't let it go. So we got to reprove. The fourth one there, fourth imperative, rebuke. That word rebuke means to admonish or to charge sharply. To bring an erring one to repentance. Sin has consequences, church. You know, I don't understand why people don't understand that. When I was growing up, things have changed, I realize. But whenever I did something wrong in our household, there were consequences to that. Amen? Spare the rod and spoil the child. My parents, I think they had that posted in somewhere in the house. Because I got many a wearing outs. But guess what? I needed it. And I'm thankful they did do that. And by the way, parents, we have a lot of parents that are chicken-hearted today. They're afraid to be parents. They're afraid to be disciplinarians. And by the way, not all discipline takes place by using a belt or a paddle or something else. There's other ways and means of discipline. And every child is different, by the way. I'm not saying every child. Now, there's been some at Walmart that I think that, ooh, I'd like to spend 2 or 3 minutes with them. As they're there by the candy and they're throwing a big fit. And the mom finally says, just throw it in the basket. Quit crying out. You're embarrassing me. Boy, that wouldn't work with my time. I don't know about y'all. But the rebuke means to expose, reprove, rebuke. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to bring that about, Brother Jay. And God will bless you above measures. You admonish or charge sharply. It's to bring them to repentance. That's the purpose of the Word. And to expose the truth that people will turn. Now, the fifth word, the imperative used here, by the way, may I tell you that this is the positive one I want you to see. And I want you to see what it says here. He says, you're to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That word exhort, it's where we get our word parakaleo from, by the way. It's the same tense of the word. It means to call to one side, to console, or to encouragement. And here's what I've discovered, Brother Jake. I've discovered in preaching there's got to be a balance. There's got to be messages that are encouraging folks, and then there's got to be messages that you're speaking the truth in love. Sometimes in every sermon you have both of those. I think it needs to be a balance. This is the positive part. How are we doing it? With long suffering. And by the way, this Greek word for long suffering means how we deal with people, Brother Jake. Because I'm going to tell you what, along the way, there's going to be some people that are not very nice. Some people have burnt pastor for lunch sometimes. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. They go home and they talk how the pastor didn't do this. You know what most people have an idea of a pastor? They want a pastor that's 30 years old that has 20 years experience. Hello. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, we're called of God. And we will take care. We at our church, you take care of our ministers. And I thank God for this church. Because you take care of us. But there's got to be a balance. Never giving up on someone is the idea there, Brother Jake. We can't give up on people. I remember, and I think I shared this illustration once before, but one of our staff here at Lane Prairie Baptist Church, Brother Jimmy McChrystal, he used to live in Bonham. And I was pastoring in Bonham. And at that time, Brother Jimmy and Allison weren't faithful to the church. And I would go by, they hadn't joined church yet, I'd go by almost every Saturday. They probably got tired of seeing my face. But I'd go by because I knew that God could use them. And I went by and I would go by and just say, hey, how are y'all doing? What's God doing in your life? And finally, God called them to come to church at Boyd Baptist Church where I pastored, and they began to grow in Christ. They began to teach, and then they moved over here to start in the seminary. God called him to the ministry, and he served on our staff here. I sent him a text this morning telling him that I was praying for him today that he would preach in the power of the Holy Spirit and that God would use him mightily. As I sent one also to Brother Brian Bailey, I sent one to another staff member that I've served with. God just led me to do that. And when I was praying for them this morning, I just sent out those texts because we're to be encouraging folks. And by the way, let me tell you something. May I say something? And I know it's different in every place, but I'm going to tell you what. You got to encourage the pastor also. You need to encourage these young guys. Brother Jake, Brother Ricky, Brother Justin, encourage them. You know what I've discovered? The longer you're at a place, the more people take advantage of you. Oh, Brother Jerry, you just preach every week. Oh, Brother Jerry, you just do this. And by the way, we're not here for accolades. I hope you'll understand that completely. But I want to tell you what, we all need a Barnabas. And I'm thankful I have some Barnabases in this church. Then notice the next one quickly. Watch thou, be sober is the idea there. Verse 5, watch unto all things. Be sober, have self-control, think before you speak. Sometimes, Brother Jake, we're ready to pinch someone's head off. I'm not supposed to say that, was I? Not if I'm patient, I'm not supposed to say that. But we're to be level-headed, well-balanced. We got to be careful. We got to be sober. We got to have self-control in the ministry. The seventh one is endure hardship. The ministry is not for the faint of heart. You will be offended. You will be talked about. You will be ridiculed. You will be disrespected. You will be hurt. But remember, in all those times, God is the God that's called you. In fact, you remember earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, we're to endure hardness as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ. And we're to please him and him alone. Endure hardship. Number 8, do the work of the evangelist. May I tell you, if you're not winning souls, how can you expect your people to win souls? You got to be winning people, Brother Jake. You got to be out there sharing the gospel. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. We must remember that. And then notice the ninth one. I wish I had, really this message should take about an hour, but I don't have time to do that today. But notice what it says, the last one. Make full proof of thy ministry. Literally, that Greek word means to carry through to the end. Brother Jake, make full proof. Bring it to completion. What's he talking about there? Well, remember what Paul said? He comes, this is the last inspired book he wrote, by the way. You know what he says? He says, I have fought a good fight. Look there in verse 7. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You're to fulfill the ministry. Make full proof of it. And use it. Bring it to completion. Boy, there'll be times you'll be ready to give up. I don't know how many times on Monday I've said in my earlier years when I was a young pastor, I'd get discouraged. I still get discouraged, but discouraged more then than now. But I would be in my office thinking, man, I better write that resignation letter today because I'd been beat up the day before. But we got to fulfill the ministry. We got to complete it. And then over in 1 Peter it says, you're the shepherd, the flock. Because when the chief shepherd, the Lord, will appear, thank God he's going to give you a crown of glory. The crown of glory is given to the faithful minister who continues to preach the word faithfully, who endures hardship, who reproves and rebukes, who fulfills the ministry, who watches, they're sober, they have self-control, and that will be the crown of glory given. By the way, not all sheep are easy. By the way, y'all know that sheep are some of the dumbest animals that ever lived. Now, I'm not saying you're the dumbest animals that ever lived, but they didn't have any sense of direction. They didn't have any sense of smell. They didn't know where to go eat. They didn't know where to go drink. They didn't know anything. The shepherd had to lead them. And we have a responsibility, Brother Jake, to lead the flock. And we lead by example. Let me talk just briefly now about your family. Julie, you're called to support him. And I know you do. You're called to pray for your husband, to love him. Sometimes you're his sounding board. That's not easy sometimes. But don't take up his offense. I want to encourage you, don't take up his offense. Because that means you won't model that which God has before you. And by the way, you've seen that in your mom. Your dad was a pastor. You've been a part of the ministry since you were young. And it wasn't easy. But I'm going to tell you something. God will bless you above measure. He will. As you serve with your husband, as you serve with him together. By the way, Brother Jake, you got to continue to date your wife. I ask you guys in staff meeting that from time to time, don't I? When's the last time you went on a date? Ministry is very busy. It's time consuming. But you've got to take care time for your wife. You got to take time for your kids. You got to love your kids. Family, family, family is so important. And if you'll do that, God will bless you above measure. Those are the nine imperatives that Paul gives to young Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. Watch unto all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. I'm going to tell you what, the ministry is rewarding. Oh, I tell you what, I'm so thankful God called me. God called Brother Jake when he was 18 years old. He shared that with us the other night. I'm so glad God called me when I was in high school. My dad was a pastor. And by the way, I'd seen my dad go through some rough business meetings where people were ugly. But I'm thankful that my dad showed me the joys of ministry far outweigh the negative. And I want to tell you, Jake, that's true. We're going to be praying for you as you serve the Lord here in this place. And as you serve the Lord, God will bless you above measure. Now, church, we're going to have a time where we're going to have this a chair over here. Brother Jake's going to sit in this chair. And all those who are ordained, you're welcome to come and join us. We're going to lay our hands over him. We're going to pray over him. And as we're doing that, I'm going to offer an invitation time. I want some of the deacons and ministers' wives, I want y'all to come around Julie. I want you to pray over her, please. And I know God will honor that and bless that above measure. But really, even though I did not preach in the word, just preaching, you know, when you preach the word, all scripture is given for inspiration of God, and it brings people to salvation. Let me tell you what, there's some here today, you need to be saved. We'd be remiss today if we did this ordination service and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to talk about salvation today. This isn't a day. I want to tell you what, every day is a day of talking about salvation. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Some of you have been here week after week. You've heard the truth of the Word of God. You felt that tug in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that draws us. He's the one that points us to Jesus. And today I want to challenge you to come forward. When we start singing in a little bit, I'm going to challenge you to come forward and invite Jesus in your life. We'll just take a pastor by the hand. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus. We're going to sit right here on these front chairs, and we're going to share with you how you can accept Christ in your life and how you can be a born-again believer, how you can have a forever change. Because every sin that you committed up to today, God will forgive you. He'll give you a brand new start. I invite you to come today. Others, you've been visiting our church for a while. Excuse me. Maybe God's calling you to church membership today. This is where God's led you. We invite you to come and join our fellowship day. We're not a perfect church. Don't have a perfect pastor or staff. None of us are that way. Tell you that up front. But I'm going to tell you this much. This is a church that loves people, that prays for people, that ministers to our community, that shares the gospel in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's what we're about, church. If you want to be a part of a church like that, I invite you to come today. But I want everybody to bow their heads, and we're going to have Brother Jake come up here, and Brother Justin's going to lead us.